You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg. All right, so listen, a couple quick things. Patriot Mobile is the Christian conservative mobile phone company. They are nationwide. You don't have to worry about coverage, but what you are supporting, and Zach and I were talking about this relative to, you know, if you want to change platforms, right, get off of platforms, stop supporting woke stuff. Well, one of the big places you can do it, I mean, everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has a cell phone. In fact, most people have cell phones and don't have landlines. Well, you're feeding the beast, okay? If you're paying Verizon, if you're paying AT&T, you're feeding the beast. T-Mobile, all of them, you're feeding the beast. These companies don't stand for God-fearing American values. Make the change today. Go to Patriot Mobile, patriotmobile.com/chosen, and you'll get a free activation there. patriotmobile.com/chosen for free activation, or call them right now, 972-CHOSEN. Not 972-CHOSEN, 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT, and use the code CHOSEN for that free activation. 972-PATRIOT, use the code CHOSEN, and it will be very much, I mean, it'll be to your benefit to do that. You won't have somebody, you know, messing with you, and you will be supporting good conservative Christian values. Also, if you would be so kind, please do consider. Every donation helps right now. We're trying to do some big things in India. We need your help for that. And we're doing big things right here. And my next guest and I, this is why I'm doing this show. These kinds of topics, Christians have to know the truth. And I welcome to the program Michael J. O'Neill, Associate General Counsel or Assistant General Counsel at Landmark Legal Foundation. Michael, welcome back. Good to have you.
It's good to be on, Pastor Greg. Thank you.
Well, big stuff going on. Big stuff going on. I want to give a quick overview of your thoughts on the Texas abortion heartbeat bill situation that happened and the hearing that happened there. You mentioned about the Mississippi case that's coming up. We can nuance that, you know, for a minute, and then we want to get into the Second Amendment case because this is gigantic. So take it away, Michael.
Sure. Well, it was an interesting week in the Supreme Court. First of all, we heard oral arguments on SB 8, and that's the Texas abortion prohibition law that empowers, and this is a law that empowers private individuals to bring suits against abortion providers. And anytime after 6 weeks of gestation, so once there's a heartbeat that's detectable, individuals can bring private suits against those providers, those individuals who are providing the abortions, and can pursue civil damages in excess of $10,000 and then obtain attorney's fees. And it was designed to deter abortions post-heartbeat, so basically post 6 weeks. And so individuals challenged this, abortion providers challenged this law. They were alleging that it violated the fundamental right to abortion, it constituted an undue burden on the right to have an abortion. Well, the interesting thing about this law is that it empowered individual citizens. It did not involve state actors. So it was kind of a workaround against previous cases that had failed because courts were always able to say, well, this is a state actor, we're going to stop the action from the state actor from stopping these abortions. And so this, traditionally, courts have not had jurisdiction to enjoin private individuals in this capacity. I mean, you couldn't bring a suit against an individual to stop them from doing this sort of thing. So this was kind of a carve-out exception that the Texas legislature had actually found. And they were very intelligent. It was kind of a smart way to get around the previous precedent of earlier cases.
Okay.
Well, the justices weren't really amenable to that kind of workaround, unfortunately. So what we're looking at here is you saw kind of the middle of the road justices were really questioning that workaround, and were saying that they really didn't want to extend that 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 exception to private citizens. They didn't want to really extend that doctrine into private citizens. So essentially how it works is this. You have to, if you're going to bring a lawsuit, you have to stop a state, if you're going to bring a lawsuit against the law, you have to stop a state official from enforcing that law. And traditionally it works like you have to stop a district attorney from enforcing that law, you have to stop a prosecutor from enforcing that law. And they've never, courts have never extended that doctrine into private citizens from enforcing a law like this. So what the question is whether they're going to be extending that doctrine into stopping judges or county clerks from enforcing the law. And so whether you're going to enjoin or stop these cases from being filed and say, who do you stop from filing this? Well, you're going to extend this to judges and court clerks. And the court seemed, the Supreme Court seemed amenable to that, unfortunately. So it's kind of a sticky wicket here. But the bigger picture here is, what is the law that's underlying this? They're ruling that this law involves is an unconstitutional law because it unduly burdens abortion. Well, of course, what are we going to have in a few weeks? We're going to have the big case out of Mississippi where the court actually considers, again, whether you have a constitutional right to an abortion. And so if the court rules that you don't have a fundamental constitutional right to an abortion, then a lot of these arguments kind of go out the window regarding SB8 and the viability. It kind of might moot out this, a lot of these arguments for this Texas abortion law and say, well, we're no longer, well, it's no longer, the law no longer burdens a constitutional right.
Okay.
So states can take reasonable measures to regulate it. So this is where we are with it. So it seemed to me that a few of the middle of the road justices, Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Barrett, weren't too amenable to the regime that Texas has implemented. That's kind of bad news. The good news, again, of course, is the law's been in effect since September 2nd and has prevented a whole petitioners have said thousands of abortions from occurring. Hopefully, you're going to have a plot. Hopefully after December 2nd, or actually after June, when the court hopefully will rule that abortions are unconstitutional. Or you don't have a constitutional right to have an abortion.
Right.
Then we'll be able to come back to this regime, and then states will again be able to start to implement these sorts of laws.
Well, Michael, real quick though, it also speaks to the tenor of this court and their concept of individual sovereignty and who actually has, the right standing. Is government more prevalent than the individual citizen, right? In other words, mm-hmm. right? You're also addressing, we're also kind of looking into the minds of these justices to determine, because if we are a constitutional republic with representatives that are serving us in Washington, D.C., and every government entity falls under that auspices, then the supreme right to be able to have disagreement and bring disagreement and see your disagreements resolved is the sovereign citizen's right to be able to do such things. So that's kind of an underlying, I know that's probably not going to come to the forefront in this situation,
right.
But as I listen to what you're saying, ultimately, that really is a determinant, because a constitutional originist is going to understand that our Constitution was meant to hold back government interference in civil issues and let citizens resolve these issues independent of government interference.
Right. And well, interestingly enough, and with fingers crossed here,
yeah,
is the issue of abortion will also, if abortion is ultimately found not to be a constitutional right,
then it, again, right, understood.
Roe versus
sure.
Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey are reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Then the issue of abortion will revert back to the political arena. Again, state legislatures will be able to determine how and when to regulate abortion, and that's exactly what you're talking about. You're
right.
Removing the power from the justices in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and you're putting it back into the hands of the people, i.e. the state legislatures, who are directly accountable to the citizens of the individual states. And again, if there's a political outlet for this, if individuals want to have, you know, free and open abortion, God forbid, then those individuals vote for legislators who will enact that agenda.
Right.
Conversely, if you want to have limited abortions or if you want to prohibit abortions, then you can vote for state legislatures who are direct legislators who are directly accountable to you, who can act in on your behalf. So what you're saying is exactly right. You want to return the power back to the individual states and individual people.
And as that went in our history, it has been such that if you had certain belief systems, you might live in a state with other like-minded people that have those belief systems. And other states are going to have differing opinions on that, as are the citizens of that state. And that's kind of how it's why we have 50 individual states, not one, and yet they are a United States. All right, listen, we've got about we're going to have about 10 minutes on the other side. So, folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to be diving into the Second Amendment issue coming up when we get back here at Chosen Generation Radio with Michael J. O'Neill from Landmark Legal Foundation. This 2A case of the New York Rifle Association, and it's really a decision on whether or not do we really have the uninfringed right to bear arms. Well, that's what I mean. The plain language of the Constitution is just that. It's plain. And yet we have somehow convoluted this into believing. And it's interesting. I was watching Blue Bloods last night, and they were talking about cop suicides, which is a horrible thing. But several of the writers in there wrote in, well, it's because they have access to guns.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air, and we are sponsors of Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Sponsoring this program has been a real blessing to our business, and I want to encourage you to join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. Once again, that's 830-446-3624. I know your business will be blessed as ours is, and I challenge you to this blessing. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, reminding you that we have a two-hour program Monday through Friday with great interviews on topics that impact you. Our goal is to return our country to a biblically based constitutional republic as envisioned by our founding fathers and what made our nation the greatest in the world for over 150 years. You are a part of that vision, so please join us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and sign up for our emails today.
Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen. Are you getting up in the morning feeling like you and your bed had a bad night, still tired? Stop! It doesn't have to be that way. That's why Mike Lindell started MyPillow, and after his success helping people sleep better with the pillow, Mike decided to go all in. He found Giza cotton for the best sheets and created the ultimate mattress topper, and since stores won't carry his product, he's passing that savings on to you. Use the code PASTORGREG for incredible discounts and help feed starving children. Call today. 800-662-9236. 800-662-9236. Nowhere else are you going to be able to sleep well and know that you have fed starving kids. Use the code Pastor Greg. Call MyPillow today. 800-662-9236. 800-662-9236.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ, spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means in that moment they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you're my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at www.chosengenerationradio.com.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Well, my special guest is Michael J. O'Neill, Landmark Legal Foundation. And ladies and gentlemen, this case that we are about to discuss is probably one of the most important Second Amendment cases that's been heard, certainly in the last 20 years or more. New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin. Michael, give us a quick overview. What are the issues at stake here relative to the Second Amendment?
Okay, so first of all, the Supreme Court doesn't hear Second Amendment cases very often. So when you get one, it's a big deal. The last case before this one was a Heller decision out of Washington, D.C., which I think was 10-plus years ago. So you don't have a lot of, interestingly enough, you don't have a lot of Supreme Court precedent or guidance on this. So the Supreme Court, they're bound essentially to follow what they laid out in Heller, and there's not really a lot of other cases to talk about from a precedent standpoint. So what you had yesterday in arguments was a lot of talk about history. That aside, let's talk about the New York law. So the New York state law says to individuals that you cannot carry a firearm outside the confines of your house for protection unless you go through this extra, you have to appear before an administrative body, and you have to present a reason why you want to carry the firearm outside your house. And it really is an unduly burdensome regulation, state regulation, on what is your fundamental right to bear arms. And what's interesting is that 43 states don't have this law. New York and a handful of other presumably blue states do have this law. And so New York and a few other states are the exception. The rule is that you can, of course, carry a firearm outside the confines of your house. So essentially what this law really does is designed to keep law-abiding citizens from obtaining firearms for their carrying firearms for their own protection. And we had a lot of discussion about, as I said before, what this really fell out into is a lot of discussion about the history. There was a lot of debate about what were the original intent of the Second Amendment, what was the history. The court even got into some of the debate about English law and this thing called the Statute of Northampton. So they really delved back into kind of hundreds and hundreds of years ago to see what the tradition of the law, the tradition underlying the text of our Second Amendment rights. And essentially, in the bottom line here, I'll cut through all the nonsense. Bottom line is, from listening to the oral arguments, it was a good day for Second Amendment rights advocates. It was a good day for the Second Amendment. The justices really seemed amenable to the argument that this was an unreasonable infringement upon a fundamental constitutional right. Now, if you compare it to, say, it's interestingly, because the right to bear arms, the Second Amendment, gets this special treatment, and I don't mean in a good way, this exceptional treatment, and again, I don't mean that in a good way, as opposed to the other rights. If you were going to burden the right to free speech in the way the Second Amendment is burdened, no court in their right mind would have any problem throwing those laws out. But somehow, and eventually, this was a question that one of the justices really asked, was why is the Second Amendment always picked on? Why is the Second Amendment carved out and taken to this, and it's somehow states have gotten the impression that it's okay to unduly burden your right to bear arms.
Right.
And it's okay to make you jump through all of these administrative hoops.
Right.
That you would never have to jump through when you're exercising any other constitutional right.
Right.
So if you're talking about your right to free speech, for example, we can all agree that everything is subject to reasonable regulations. But again, when it becomes unduly burdensome, when I want to put a political, put a political sign in my yard, nobody's going to make me jump through some sort of administrative hoop or go in front of some sort of judge or some sort of clerk and say why I want to put a political sign in my front yard. Similarly, why should I have to go in front of a judge or some sort of administrative clerk to explain the exceptional reasons why I have for carrying my gun outside my house for
right.
my own self-protection?
Right.
So I think what you saw was a lot of the justices were amenable to that argument. I think you saw the advocate for the Second Amendment rights, for the gun rights advocates, is one of the strongest Supreme Court advocates we have in our country. He is very exceptional arguing these cases, so I think it was a good day for them. The individual who was arguing for the New York State really was put through the ringer by the justices, and I think, I don't want to get over my skis in this,
yeah.
But I think you're going to see a, fingers crossed, I'm guardedly optimistic that you're going to see a good case for the Second Amendment.
Well, let me put this in too for layman's terms as well. Folks, because somebody might say, well, okay, what, I mean, I don't, you know, so you have to go through this process, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. The big deal is that when you have to go through one of these committees, everything becomes subjective. So basically, it is the mood, the attitude, and the belief of the person sitting on that panel who will determine whether or not they think you have a good enough reason to want to save your own skin. Okay? That's right. The issue. It's not objective. There's no objectivity in this at all. it really depends on who's sitting on that panel and what they think about guns. And I started to mention this as we were going into the break, you know, the question of, well, you know, and again, it was Blue Bloods and a episode about, you know, police suicide, which is horrible. I'm a veteran. We have a major issue with veteran suicide, but listen, problem is helping the individual with the mental challenges and getting to that place of absolute hopelessness. But on Blue Bloods, they said, well, it's because they have, you know, part of the reason is they have easy access to guns. Michael, that is the mantra of the gun control left. And it's what we've got to unwind in our education system.
Right. And again, here we go. Justice Alito posited a hypothetical of, you know, those arguing in favor of the New York law were saying that in cities, you need to have control in New York City, you need to have control of the guns, you need to be able to, you can't have this proliferation of firearms in New York City. And Justice Alito posited the hypothetical of, you know, made the obvious point, well, that the individuals who are committing the crimes don't have the guns legally.
Absolutely.
The people who are going to commit crimes are going to have guns, despite the fact. Law-abiding citizens are the ones who are being denied guns. And he posited this hypothetical of an individual who works until midnight, you know, maybe somebody in your clean, you know, somebody who works in the cleaning services of an office building, has to go through a scary neighborhood, has to ride the subway, has to walk by some neighborhoods where some individuals might be threatening to them. That individual can't protect themselves.
Right.
And the only argument that the New York State solicitor could make was, well, they can call the police. Well, we all know the police can't be everywhere all
no.
the time.
And by the time the police get there, they could well be dead. Here's something. I was looking at Heller real quick, and you had Alito, Thomas, and Scalia, and Roberts that were on that. Right now, we've got Gorsuch, Alito, Thomas, and probably Roberts, based on his history, that are more than likely in our corner. That's four. The question's going to be Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett, and where do they stand? Pray over that, folks. We must have the right to defend ourselves. Back and more Chosen Generation Radio right after this brief break.